The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. It is Sunday, February 25th. I'm broadcasting live here in downtown Reading at the KCNR studio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Also streaming online, KCNR1460.com. I'm also on Facebook Live currently, so if you go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook, it's live. We have a boom mic. Excuse me. We have a boom mic here now, so I think the sound issues we've had over the past couple weeks should be cleared up. So a couple quick hellos. Want to say hello to my mom, of course, who's always listening. You know, if I ever want to make her feel guilty, I just sorry. If I ever want to make her feel guilty, I just tell her that she missed my first home run in Little League, and I don't think she's missed a single thing since. But love you, Mom. Thank you so much for all your support. Sarah's listening, and My bride has been absolutely my rock in this entire thing. I don't really talk about her enough. She doesn't want to be mentioned, but I'm very thankful to have her by my side for 25 years now, be married 25 years this year. And this is my last show before the election on March 5th because, of course, I do every other Sunday. So I have a lot to cover, I will say. Today's lineup, a lot of times at the end I tend to do a quick little recall update, but I'm gonna actually lead off with that today because I want to articulate a few things that I've kind of ping-ponged in my mind back and forth. Do I want to talk about it at the board meeting on Tuesday, or do I want to do it here? Maybe I'll do both. I guess I can do both because I'm the chair, and also this is my show, and I have no paid advertisers, so I can do what I want. And much like being in office, I'm beholden to nobody, and I think that's why I've ruffled a lot of feathers is because I can't be bought. I can't be bullied, I can't be threatened, I can't be coerced, and all of those things have been attempted, and those will be very front and center publicly here very soon. So the second half of the lineup today will be going through our agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday. It's going to be a big meeting. As chair, I want us to meet every single week, but with the exception of holiday weeks. Well, here in February, we have obviously those two Monday holidays for Dr. King and then also President's Week. So we have a couple breaks, and that has made it where we've had a gap. So this agenda is pretty large. We did push some stuff to March 12th. But I'm going to start really quickly also with the weather, because Weather NorCal, Mike Kruger, friend of mine, again, not a paid advertiser, but like I've always said, he is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be for North State weather. So here's his report from Weather NorCal. Another nice day today with highs near 70 before we cool back down to the 50s tomorrow, along with a chance for rain. Dry but cool Tuesday and Wednesday before the next round of rain arrives Thursday and Friday. So that's Weather NorCal. Mike Kruger, thank you for that update. As we jump in, we may take calls at the close to the end of the hour. As of right now, we will not be taking. I will not be taking calls, but so we're going to jump in with some of the recall stuff. And so I'm going to start it like this. People very often ask me. They come up to me and they say, "Hey, Kevin, how do you do it? How are you, you know, able to withstand all the things that are said and just keep a smile on your face and keep moving forward?" And I'll tell you, it's not always maybe as easy as I may make it seem at times. But I got, and you can see here, if you're looking online, you can see this morning at 7:23, I got a video from a gentleman named Mike Ricker in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know if he's in Phoenix or if he's in Texas today because he bounces back and forth. But he's retired law enforcement. I met him through who I call my first supporter, Ken Riley. Ken Riley is a District 1 voter, voted for my opponent, him and his wife, in the primary election. And then he called me in between the two elections in 22, between the primary and the general, and asked me questions. And him and his wife both wound up voting for me in the general election, but they actually have been very, very good friends now. His wife, Christy, is very active in the Filipino community, and I went to the Valentine's Day celebration recently with the Filipino community. And so when I met with them and they interviewed me, basically, and they flipped to Kevin Cry's team, it really showed me early then the key to really all of this, doesn't matter if it's business or politics, it's relationships. It's investing in people and investing the time in getting to know people. So after they flipped, it was really just an onslaught of more knocking on doors. Well, I met Mike through Ken and his wife. They were sharing with Mike a little bit about some of the stuff I had gone through, and Ken and Mike had worked very closely together in law enforcement. And so I'm going to play this video because Mike sent this to me at 7:23 this morning. It was interesting. I don't know if you're listening today, Mike, but I had no idea what you look like. So you and I both should be on the radio, and I guess I'm doing Facebook Live, so this doesn't count, but you and I both have faces for radio. No, I'm just kidding, Mike, but I'm going to play this. It's about 1 minute, and the audio should be able to pick up fine. But when people say, Kevin, how do you get through this? It's because of people like Mike Ricker and many of you who reach out very consistently to lift me up, to build my family up, to be praying for us. And so I'm going to play this real quick.
Morning, Kevin. Ricker here. Hey, buddy. I hope this vid finds you happy, healthy, and ready to fight. I believe you're going to win. Of course, you win. That's not going to stop the attacks, and you know that. You're a strong man. You're a man of faith. You got enough armor. You can withstand anything they throw at you. Should it be that you lose, what have you lost? Nothing. You're not going to quit fighting. It's not your way. You'll keep going. Sooner or later, you're going to wind up on top again. Don't you worry about it, man. People believe in you. Setbacks happen everywhere, as you well know. You're going to be fine. Keep the faith. Keep strong. Look at that support staff you have. They love you like a brother. God bless you, pal. We're thinking of you and we're praying for you. Take care.
So it's moments like that, and if you couldn't hear online, I hope you could, but it was just very uplifting. Nothing really scripted. This is just Mike. Once in a while, he'll text that kind of thing to me. And I got to tell you, that goes a long way. My wife and I and my son, before we drove him to winter camp Friday, we were at In-N-Out, and a person came up and said, hey, are you Kevin Cry? And I said, yes, and they just said, hey, you know, and they said some kind words. And I said, you know who could hear that? My wife could use that right now. So they went over and talked to my wife, because it wasn't that my wife was struggling necessarily, but, you know, she has been shouldering more of this because, you know, she knows that she has to be strong, because that's where I get a lot of my strength from outside of my faith. So they went over, the lady went over there and talked to my wife briefly, and it was just awesome. So the outpouring of support has been overwhelming, and it's been humbling, and it'll make me never, ever want to stop fighting regardless, because I know ultimately at the end of this is going to be about voter turnout. And, you know, one thing in sports I will say is, you know, I've always taught my teams and taught my kids, if I speak at a business conference or anytime I'm asked to speak, it's about always about respecting your opponent, but also, you know, knowing that you're never really competing against your opponent. You're competing against yourself and giving your best and doing the best that you can. And, again, you always want to congratulate your opponent, win or lose. Well, what's been tough about this, I have to tell you, is, well, you know, I'll give you another example really quick. It's like Mike, I think it was Mike Tyson that said, you know, he could no longer box at the elite level because he lost the ability to hate people, because early in his career, he would just hate his opponent. He could muster up that strength to hate his opponent and just go out there and just literally almost murder them with his fists. And once he lost that edge, that was kind of it. And I've heard, you know, football players and other people, like Michael Strahan, you know, said that a little bit as well. And, you know, the thing I'll say about this recall is I don't hate anybody. But the individuals that are really behind this, the ones that are out in front leading, the ones that are on TV making statements – I could respect them if they just weren't such flat-out liars. Just flat-out liars. And it's easy to prove that because if you watch the video that was on Action News Now by the recall spokesperson, it's just riddled with lies. It's just and the propaganda and the lies that they spew just make me righteously angry because when they talk about, you know, costing the county millions of dollars, I mean, that is such a farce. And when we get into the agenda, we're going to talk about the second essential tax cut that I've brought forward and will pass because R3 on our agenda is going to be just the tip of the iceberg of what this county has in store for it with the assumption that I remain the board chair and continue to make sure we look deeply into mismanagement of regulations and fees and how we've collected them because people have money coming back. There are a large group of people that have money coming back, and that's going to be addressed later in the show, but it'll be on Tuesday. We'll be talking about that. So the lies that the opposition tells just bother me. When they talk about, like, the voting stuff, I mean, that's all they want to hang me on, essentially. They talk about all these people leaving, and I'm not going to sit here and give a 10 or 15 or 20-point list of all the things they've said and why they're wrong, so I'm just not going to give them the time of day and that much air. But what I will say is I met with the Associated Press on Wednesday. They followed the recall group around on Tuesday, and then they spent a good portion of Wednesday morning with me, and then we went over to Lucky Miller's Deli and talked to Jason and a little bit just about what he's seen and how we've worked together. But the one thing that the Associated Press guy, you know, finally said towards the end, he goes, look, my whole angle is about the voting machines. And I said, well, that's sad. I said, because that was like a year ago. But I said, you know, here's all the information with that. And all I ever wanted with the voting stuff is just transparency. Like, hey, let's hit the reset button. Let's get back to a foundation where everybody can believe and see what's going on. Because if you're paying attention right now, the Election Commission, and there's five, and it's very bipartisan. I mean, there's essentially what I would say, three very conservative and maybe one very, very, very moderate and then one very liberal person on that committee, which, again, it shouldn't be partisan, but it is. But that election commission is having a ton of ballots turned into them of people that died and died years ago. I'm not saying died 6 weeks ago and they're getting a ballot. We're talking about died in 2019, 2020, and there's ballots being mailed out. And then many, many, many people, I don't know if it's up to 100 yet, that have just turned them in, but have received duplicate ballots. And again, the clerk's office, and Joanna right now is essentially, I guess you'd say, the acting clerk because Kathy's out on medical leave, I believe. I don't think she's retiring till May or something, but I don't. However that goes, Joanne, I believe, is in charge. And so I'm sure there's a good explanation for it, but it doesn't make voters feel really, doesn't give them the warm fuzzy that everything is perfect in the elections office as that stuff goes. So my vote with terminating the Dominion stuff was really just like, hey, this is a financial thing. I don't want to lease equipment. Let's buy it. We've saved well over $1 million, almost $2 million on that. We're not hand counting because of AB 969. We had to buy HART machines because we still had to have we still had to have machines to meet the HAVA Act, the Help America Vote Act. So when they say that it's costing millions, then no, it doesn't. And so that's their first big lie. And we'll see what the Associated Press tries to come up with, because I provided them with the HART and the Dominion contracts. And he goes, yeah, you're right. This absolutely saved the money you said. I said, absolutely it did. And I said, you know, and anybody with, you know, half a brain could actually, you know, FOIA those types of things from the clerk's office or from the auditor controller and or shoot, I don't even know, maybe the CAO's office and get copies of those contracts and just do the math. And then if you look at inflation and everything else, it saved a lot more because what we pay today, it's not going to increase as time goes on. So again, when you look at those Action News videos and you look at the lies that they're spewing, that's what bothers me about this whole thing as it relates to respecting my opponents. Now, I will say if people are canvassing and knocking on doors, that's a lot of hard work. And it's not easy to go up to a door that you don't know what the response will be. So, and I can respect that part. But, you know, along these same lines, I went to the Rand Paul event last night. So thank you very much for our local GOP and the head of our local GOP, Dr. Dan Sloan, who's running in District 2, and all of the staff that made that happen. I know I saw Brenda Haynes and Carolyn and Arthur Gorman and Katie Gorman and Dale Ball. There was a lot of people there and a lot of people working really hard to make that event happen. And I did get about 2 or 3 minutes, or maybe a little bit more than that, getting a chance to speak with Senator Paul. And I got to tell you, my big takeaway from it was, you know, as he talked briefly about, you know, things that's going on out of the area. And we spent most of the time just talking about Shasta County. And what I realize is what he's dealing with there is essentially what we're dealing with now in Shasta County, some of the same stuff when we were talking about cover-ups and other stuff like that. I mean, he wrote this book called Deception. It's about the COVID-19, you know, cover-up and all the things that he's trying to get done. And people had said, you know, and he brought this up. He said as he's done a little book tour and he's spoken at 6 or 7 different places here in California over the past week, he said, you know, people have asked, why are you still talking about COVID? He goes, because there's a lot of stuff that's left undone that needs to happen. He goes, I'm not going to stop until Dr. Fauci's in prison. And he went through all the things that had happened with gain of function research and just the egregiousness of or the atrocity of crimes that Fauci and others pulled off, not just the American people but the world. And so when I see stuff about Shasta County and, you know, when my opponents say that I lied to District 1 voters and I'm doing nothing that I ran on, well, I ran on transparency, local control, government corruption. And the government corruption, I got to admit, there was a little bit of a stretch when I said that. I believe there was probably some things that were wonky, but I had no idea how on point I was. I mean, I'll tell you, people, I've had senior leaders within the county monitoring my emails and feeding those to people very, very early on in my time in office. I took advice from staff that was to 100% set me up. I've been threatened, bribed, coerced. I mean, it goes on and on. And like I said, all this stuff, I'm trying to just essentially like keep my mouth somewhat shut, because when I said I'm a healer and a uniter, I've always been that. And I'm not super interested in just tearing everything down. If people want to leave and go to another job or do other things, I'm good with that. And I'm good with that whether because it's everybody's right to do what they see best for themselves and their families. But for me, I want to get, and we are there, we are getting closer every day to having a staff that cares not about politics, but cares about doing the right thing for the Shasta County resident. We have to have people in office and at senior level spots in county government that want to make people's lives better and are uncompromised by that. Because that's the most important thing that we have. And if we don't have that, we don't have a society, people. I mean, it is just it is not conducive to a lifestyle of making you excited about the community you live in every day. And I am excited about Shasta County. I'm excited about the direction we're headed. But we are definitely on the right track, and we're going to keep pushing forward. And again, like I've said in my commercials, and not just in my commercials, but in my – and you can go to the Facebook page if you're there watching it live. You can, look later, scroll down, and you can see the video I did for Action News Now. It's on my Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page. And a couple of people said, hey, why didn't you smile? I'm like, because nothing's funny about this. I mean, between the two sides, we've raised, $400,000 or $500,000 we've spent on this witch hunt of a recall. And, that money could have went in so many other directions and so many other places locally. But that's what the other side does. The other side wants to slow me down. So what I've done is, who's been cheated has been my kids and my wife. That's who's been cheated, because I've been doing the work as a supervisor, doing the work as chair, running my companies. My companies have definitely suffered as well. But I'm thankful for the staff I have. Okay, so that's a little bit of my rant. I may touch more in the next few days with another Facebook Live, just because I'm so frustrated again at people that can lie and throw stuff out and essentially can get away with it. And I'll tell you, the bar for libel or slander for a political official is like, I mean, there is no bar. It's basically the moon, or it's the, you know, it's the stratosphere. Like, the people can say whatever they want and essentially get away with it. And that's partially just the law of the land across the country, but especially in California. California is just such a wonky state, and that's why that assembly race the assembly race locally. I mean, really vet those candidates and really pick who you think is going to stick up for you well, because that'll be important. We want to have a voice in Sacramento that's very pro North State and pro holding the line. Okay, with that, we're going to transition over to the agenda for this week's Board of Supervisors meeting. The legislative update from our CEO, and then also the supervisor reports. The supervisor reports, I think this one for this Monday, I am going to articulate some of the stuff I did mention that I've been through at the county, because I looked at, you have the, if I do too much, you know, now, I don't, I want to make sure at the end of the day, our county is in a spot that, we're getting the right people in the right spots doing the right thing all the time. That's what's important. And, so if I wait to do stuff though, because who knows, I realize that, I'm going to get a drink of water here really quick. So hold on one second. Sorry. So I do realize that, Casey at the bat, right? He struck out and things can happen. So I don't ever take anything lightly, even every single day in office, because you don't know the outcome. I believe we'll win. I believe we'll pull through. But if I don't, then I don't want to, all the things that come out, because it will come out, because it's already moving its way through closed session and other, then I don't want to make it look like, you know, sour grapes if I bring it up. But at the same time, if and when I win and then I bring this stuff up, I don't want people to feel like they're being politically attacked because maybe they opposed me or stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, there are documented emails and depositions and recordings of many things that have gone on in this county. And I'm sure they've gone on for years. The difference is, a lot of people, and you've seen it on our current board, how a person feels one way and they do a 180 and they go the other way and they completely flip, and everybody says, well, what happened there? Well, you know, not everybody has the back and the shoulders and the support system that I've had to keep doing what I think is right. So R1 for my supervisor update will be good. R2, we're getting a presentation from Dr. Kieran O'Mahony. I almost said a young man. He is not a young man. And he's become a pretty good friend, but, he's from Ireland. He currently lives in Seattle. He was Educator of the Year, I think in 2021 or 22 for India. He speaks, worldwide. And some of you are going to cough or maybe choke on your breakfast when I say this, but the, World, Health Organization, the WHO, have invited him to speak. He was actually at the World Economic Forum because he has groundbreaking research that his team has done about child development and about, so I brought this forward because as chair, I get to set the majority of the agenda, we'll say, but I'm bringing issues at least every month, if not every meeting, about kids. And one of the things that I'm working on with Miguel in Children's Services within HHSA is how we train our staff and how we identify needs of kids and the young families that are rearing them, whether it's foster care or just in families that HHSA serves. So we have a presentation coming, and that'll be 8 minutes. There'll be some public comment. So, again, I put that there because I have a lot of educators that are going to be in the audience and want to see him, and then they're going to get back to school. So they're doing period subs. Some of them are taking a half day. And it's going to be a quick presentation. All of our presentations really are capped at about 8 minutes, and then there's public comment, and then if the supervisors have questions. So there is no vote, and there is no money. This is really about educating the public, because obviously right now at this time of the election, there is some heightened eyes on the Board of Supervisors meetings, and I want what's most important to me, and I believe the people of Shasta County, to be front and center, and that's kids and families. So R3 is our auditor controller. This is and I'm not going to go through every single item because we would never get through it in the hour, but R3 is going to be not the bombshell, but this is going to be exactly what government is supposed to be, right? We had a constituent, John Wildley, who was actually appointed to I don't forget what the board was. Mary Rickert actually made the recommendation for him, and he was supported. I believe it was 5-0. There was two people that were going up for this appointment. Well, he was one of them. So he is a realtor, but also he is a notary public. And he went to the clerk's office and said, hey, the notary fees in Shasta County are the highest. They are the highest of any single county in the state of California. And they said, yeah, well, here's why. And they gave him reasons why. So he went back. He did all this number crunching, all this data for about 2 months, and went back again and said, hey, not only are they the highest, but they're 160-some% higher than the second county, which would be Riverside, which was in the 70s, so, in the $70 range. And then the six geographic surrounding counties, it was over 300% more. And so he had more questions, and he didn't get anywhere. So then he came to me. And when he came to me, we did a lot of, I won't say number crunching. I looked over his, and he gave me justifications why there was a $7 surcharge or why there was certain fees added on. And kind of like when you look at like a cell phone bill and it's got, dial tone finance charge, or you have, beeping number fee. You're like, well, what are all these fees? I remember at a hotel once there was a resort fee, and it wasn't a resort. They had a little fitness center which was closed because of COVID, but I still paid $20 for the resort fee. It just seemed like an illegal tax, really, or they're just sticking it to me. So when I met with him, I went and met with Nolda, and she said, yeah. So I put it on the agenda. We asked Nolda Short to look into it, and actually she was going to look into it on her own because she is an elected official. She has a lot of autonomy, can do what she wants. So she did an audit. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, we've overcharged people over 30-some percent, and that's going to sunset. And you could look at the agenda and go through that. So Nolda's going to make a presentation, and then we're going to vote to refund the money that was taken from people. And that is R3. And so with that, we're going to go to a short break. We're going to come right back. I think maybe the last 10 minutes of the show we will take some calls. With that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the post office would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Wind River Resort and Casino invites you to join us in Seasons for our event night special on Saturday, March 9th. From 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., enjoy a delicious taco bar that will have your taste buds dancing in the ring. Only $10 with a River Club card. And that's not all. From 5 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., stop by the Seasons Bar and take advantage of our knockout drink special, a $7 shot of Patron Silver. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
People of this country and
for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flags.
American flags, that is right. I guess people that are listening or that are watching online and on the Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page where we are streaming this live don't get to hear the music. So apologize for people for that. So I just had mentioned the report from Auditor Controller Nolda Short. She's my favorite elected official by far, and present company included. That would be myself. Nold is going to stay up there, and there's going to be another item that I sponsored, which is receiving a presentation from her again about our whistleblower program. I think the whistleblower program is something that a lot of employees know about, but it's not something that, you know, when you get hired and they put all this paperwork in front of you, and, you know, I'm not going to say they jam it through, but at the same time, you're kind of like, what did I just read? What did I just sign? And so I want to make sure employees know that there is a process and there is a very safe environment to bring stuff forward. And this is never about trying to catch people doing something wrong. What this is, I think it's a level of accountability to say, hey, look, you know, the employees of the county have the ability to make sure things come out. And I think that just is a little bit of checks and balances, which I think is important. But also, you know, I will say I receive more emails from constituents all across the county, not just my district, but all across the county reaching out saying, hey, you know, this is we can tell you really do care. I mean, when I do my kaleidoscope coffees on Friday, I'm getting people coming here or coming to that hour and giving me information about stuff that's going on, stuff that's happened. And it's powerful because people, I think, really feel like they've got a voice. So R4 is the whistleblower program presentation. And then R5, we have a Social Work Appreciation Month, which is going to be a proclamation. R6, Supervisor Rickert is sponsoring a presentation about the Fire Safe Council. That will be R6. Then we're going to go into public comment. Public comment probably, I don't know, I'm going to guess it's going to kick off sometime maybe an hour and a half in, possibly. I don't know how many questions there might be for some of these things or how much public comment there would be. One thing I am encouraging everybody to do, though, that comes, and I'll talk about this on Tuesday at the beginning of the meeting after the prayer and the invocation, is if you're going to want to speak to the closed session agenda items, get a card in, because we anticipate that'll be pretty long. Closed session, the estimates are, you know, between 3 and 3.5 hours, and there are a lot of items on closed session, some of which you'll be able to know because the way they're worded. Others, you know, you might want to speculate or whatever, but get cards in for closed session comment. That way we know how many we have, because we're probably going to stop public comment, open time public comment, and go into closed session public comment pretty early. And then we will break for lunch, and then we will pick public comment back up on the backside. And again, the one thing we have with public comment, you can speak to every single agenda item on there, because, you know, what public comment has become a lot of times is, you know, people's opportunity to go up there with an audience and vent. But really, public comment really is to address the supervisors. Again, you know, if you want to stand on the steps out front and get people as they come in and, you know, get your like literal soapbox out and stand on it and, you know, talk to people, go do that. You can do that. But the reason we have the agenda items as it is because we're going to get some county business done. And get some items spoken to that the people really care about. So the first, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, we're going to get a lot of things done. In the county, a lot of the department heads, not even the department heads, just a lot of county workers have really, really, really been very gracious and been very responsive to how we're handling public comment now, with cutting the mic and then getting a few major items out of the way before we go. And here's the deal. There's nothing more important to me in office than listening to people. I mean, I don't know how many emails the other supervisors get, how many they respond to. You know, if I did a montage or a mix-up of all the different people that said, I can't believe you drove all the way out here to address this for me, and they're not even in my district. They're not even in my district. And a lot of times I always pass everything to the other districts, but there's a couple districts that, you know, if there's not something in it for them, they're probably not going to reach out to you. And, you know, so I tend to do some of that stuff pretty often. If I feel like a person needs to be heard, because it can be lonely. I'll tell you, people that are trying to navigate the system of permits and builds, or have some issue on their property, it's tireless, and I won't say it's thankless, because it's not thankless. I get great messages from that guy Mike. And okay, I digress. I can almost feel my wife like tapping me on the shoulder saying, get back to the budget or get back to the agenda. So thank you, Sarah, for keeping me straight. All right. So the one you like that, Brandon? Brandon's laughing at me. So the consent calendar, here's one on C2. And I'm going to read it to you. C2 is appoint council members and approve an annual certification statement regarding composition of the Shasta County Local Child Care and Development Planning Council. And then there's a staff report, and if you look here, it's about you can download it. It's about 14 pages, and I'll read this recommendation. It says, take the following actions: designate the current 14 members of the Shasta County Local Child Care and Development Planning Council as the existing LPC, and two, approve the certification statement regarding composition of LPC membership for the State Department of Social Services, which demonstrates that LPC members meet mandated representation categories set forth by AB 131. Okay, so this is one consent item of, let me look here. We have, going through, we have 16. We have 16 consent items. So Here's the issue, and this is why I'm going to talk about C2 really quick. And it's not about just the people specifically or the organization. It's, you know, when we appoint people to stuff, I have a really hard time appointing people to anything that I haven't spoken to. I don't know what they stand for. I don't know what they believe. I don't know. I don't want to say their politics, but when I see, and I circled it, and there it is, you know, when I see the word child or child care, or development, anything with children, it's really, really tough, because I haven't met those people. Every single person that has been recommended by staff or that applied, they may be the most salt of the earth, greatest people on earth. So I want to make sure if you're one of the people listed in C2 for this, this is not personal, but what it is, the conversation that says, I'm going to appoint these people, and then people say, well, Kevin, your staff said it's good. So they're not staff that I hired, other than CEO Rickert. I hired CEO Rickert. So, and he reports directly to me. So if he, and I'm one vote of five, but if he does something that I don't like, well, I've got a 20% say in what happens there. And for me, I got to tell you, people, I'm struggling, because kids right now need the greatest defenders, and they needed them years ago. I mean, when Supervisor Rickert shut the boardroom down, and we got the plexiglass rolling up, the Shasta, and people could say, oh, Shasta County was better off than most counties, or Shasta County opened faster. Oh, no, that's not necessarily true. Like Sweden never shut down. Those kids were always in school. I remember a few years ago, Foothill, I forget the gentleman's name. He was from Coronado, or the San Diego Chula Vista area. He was the principal at Foothill for a while. And I had heard that the power went out at Foothill. And I was assuming everybody was going home. And someone said, no, he had said, we're going to open the doors. We're going to have school in the dark. And it's like, holy cow. Like, I absolutely love to hear that. It's like, no, the show goes on. We're going to keep staying in school. So for me, Sweden didn't shut down. Reading Christian, I think, shut down maybe for a brief blip of a second. But we have to have people standing up right now, putting kids and families first. That's what has to happen. So when I look at C2 and I'm going to, put the stamp of approval on these people doing these jobs, working with these kids. And of course, there's, 20% of the people are consumers who are receiving services. I'd love to talk to some of those people. And there are phone numbers in there, and I didn't know, You know, anyway, I'm just sharing with you because I think that's transparent. I think that's important that people know. So if you want to come speak on C2 and you know any of the people or have any, you know, questions or thoughts, because, I mean, you know, hey, what if some of these people are on the khaki? What if some of these people have been accused of child abuse or something like that? And I'm appointing them to a board and I just don't know. That's what troubles me is when we're making appointments and I do it. We do it every meeting where we go with what, you know, we think we have to do. But when I see the word child and I see the word kid, it's really, really tough for me. So I'm sharing that. Maybe that was a little bit long to spend on C2, but, that's where that is. And I'll tell you what, I did promise people we would do some call-ins if they wanted. So I am going to just hit on one more thing. We do have, the sheriff. An R9, we have a position allocation that we're looking at with PSOs, and that's going to be something that I'm going to support. I think it's going to be – we have to continue to support our sheriff. Our sheriff, sheriff's office had the incident that happened with the two young men this last week, and I'm just thankful for our first responders and our sheriff and the people that put themselves in harm's way for us every day. So with that also, I did ask Supervisor Jones to call in with a jail update of something he was going to do. Oh, they're waving at me. Okay, so what I'm going to do right now, looks like Supervisor Jones did get on, so if Patrick's there, can you plug Patrick in? Now, people online won't be able to hear the question, but I'll repeat back a little bit of what Patrick's saying. So go ahead, Pat. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, Chairman. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Supervisor. So really quick, because we're on the Facebook Live as well, so they can't hear. But can you give us just a couple minute what you're working on with the courthouse and where we are with that? I mean, I'm aware, but go ahead.
Yeah, so as you're aware, you know, as we sit on the at-home committee, and we've been working on that for more than, you know, half a year, one of the things that needed to be addressed was post-release. And so right now is an exciting time. The new courthouse is complete. They are making that transition over. They're just about out of the old building. When that is complete, that will be property of Shasta County. We're going to have a discussion, obviously, on Tuesday. It's on the agenda about what to do with that building, demolish it completely, demolish part of it. I brought up the idea that maybe the front part, which is roughly around 30,000 square feet, that could possibly be used for a post-release program. And, of course, I've met with you. I've met with the CEO. We've all, Health and Human Services, Laura Birch, we've done a walkthrough. The building's in good shape, so we're going to have that discussion on Tuesday. I'm excited about that, and we'll see where she goes from there.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Supervisor Jones. So for the people on Facebook Live, really quick, it was the courthouse is being moved into. We have to wait till that's moved because of CEQA and some other things. It's about 30,000 square feet, and Patrick Jones, Supervisor Jones of District 4, had brought up one of the things that we really have is we have a need for getting people that have been incarcerated and they're getting back into society, having a transitional program there and what it would look like to house and be able to have some resources and job skill centers and some other things right there next to the jail. So that's something he's been working on, and we'll be talking about that this week. Okay, we have another caller. Nick, is that going to be Nick Gardner?
And,
Nick, are you there?
Here.
All right,
Kevin,
Nick. Yes, sir.
I wanted to say that you have been the most accessible and open supervisor we've ever had, and you explain things wonderfully. Here's my question. If the recall goes against you, which I pray to God it doesn't, will you continue on a radio show?
Oh, that's a great question. Will I continue the radio show if I was recalled? You know, I probably will make that decision with my family at that time.
You've got a lot to contribute to the community, and I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, the question is you know, I definitely enjoy it, but what I enjoy the most is I enjoy moving the needle in people's lives. And I think what's important is I'm trying to raise the bar for elected officials be accessible. You know, I won my seat by knocking on doors. My opponent in the general and the primary outraised me, and I had to, you know, roll up the sleeves or tie the shoes tight and go out and canvass and knock on a lot of doors. Like that's the one thing that I really, I won't say missed, but that's why I really started to fire up my coffee dates again, is because during the campaign I did coffee all the time. Every Friday, and then I canvassed. I felt like I really had a good pulse and a good heartbeat with constituents, not just in my district, but just in general. And with fulfilling the role as chair, I mean, it is a lot of extra work. I mean, I know anybody who's been chair would tell you that. But again, I don't know. I can't compare what I do versus what they've done. But I do know that it's all for naught if we're not making people's lives better. And that's what's important. So thank you, Nick, for the question. We'll see. I know one thing for sure is it's when you look at the movie The Matrix, and I haven't seen The Matrix in probably over 10 years, the red pill, blue pill. And now that I've been awakened to the stuff that goes on, you know, I know somebody that's a supporter that moved to, I believe, Rhode Island or the East Coast because they served on the grand jury here. And they said they couldn't live in Shasta County knowing what they knew after serving on the grand jury. I mean, and that's a pretty crazy statement to say that they couldn't live in Shasta County anymore. And I wouldn't go that far, but I will say that it is important that the public – people are not able to hide in plain sight. And some of the stuff that's happened has been very, it's legal. It's legal. It just isn't ethical. And that's okay, because it's not about burning it all down. It's just about making sure some of this stuff doesn't ever happen again. And there are laws in place. If you do want to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Feel free to call in and ask a question. So I'm going to go back over to our agenda here. The one of the things also is because of March 5th, the staff recommended, and I agreed, that for Election Day, and making sure anybody who wanted to vote on Election Day in terms of employees, et cetera, would be able to have the bandwidth and the ability to do that. So not having a meeting on March 5th, Tuesday, March 5th, made sense. So March 12th will be the next meeting. I know that we're going to have quite a few items on that. The staff has been working very hard on the code of conduct for the supervisors, for employees, for people in the meeting. So I believe there's going to be two or three items on the March 12th agenda that will be you know, specific to that same topic. I know we've got a couple calls coming in, so I'm not sure they're going to feed through first. Again, when you do get there, I'm going to remind you, if you can, it would be great if you could fill out a speaker request card, especially for closed session, because we're really going to try and see how many closed session speakers we're going to have, so we know with the open time when to make that work. Okay, so we're going to bring a caller in. We have Laura. Laura is going to come in. Hello, Laura, you're there?
Good morning, Chairman Cry. This is Laura Hobbs.
Oh, hey, Laura.
For District 2. I had a question. How likely do you think it is that we'll be able to get an ordinance or something on the agenda regarding hand counting here locally at the precincts within the next couple months, and preferably on using paper poll books?
Okay, thank you. So the question about hand counting or paper poll books at the precincts, one of the things that will be I know we're going to have some items on the agenda for the 12th or the 19th of March with the Election Commission, but the state doing AB 969 has really made it extremely almost not navigatable. We have a new county council starting in April, and it's my position, and I haven't talked to any supervisors about this, but any kind of legal action or anything that would take place as it relates to AB 969 or really anything new needs to be started in April when our new county council is here. Again, I think that, you know, one thing that we're not doing at the precinct level anymore is there used to be tape on the door, so they, those would be counted at the precinct. They're still counted and, I believe, attributed to each precinct, but it's done at a central location now at the clerk's office. So the days of going to the precinct at close of polls and waiting for the numbers to be taped on the door are over. That's not something that the clerk's office will be doing anymore. So good question. I mean, and I think that the vigilance of election integrity is super important. I mean, we're going to I mean, what's really disheartening, I think, is when you look at how you know, now, I mean, the Republican Party used to be very much, you know, vote on election day, vote in person at your precinct, walk it in. And then, you know, now there's they talk about banking their vote. And to be honest, like, I haven't paid attention to any of that, because to me, I still go on election day. I like to get my sticker. It's something I did, you know, the minute I could when I turned 18. So I don't really get into the weeds of that, but I do understand the importance that we have to have across the country to know that our vote counted, and I think everybody would want that, should want that. So, again, but we do have very hardworking people in our clerk's office. I will say that. Joanna, her staff, are working hard. I know there was a couple items that the Election Commission wanted for this meeting, but I bounced one of them primarily because I want the election staff to focus on the election. There is stuff that I believe the public is entitled to, and they will get that because legally they'll get it. So with that, I'm going to jump back over. We don't have a call right now, so I'm going to jump back over to the agenda and talk a little bit about closed session. And also, some people have said, hey, why do you do closed session? Why has the board in recent times been moving more closed session items to lunch? And I can't articulate what they did in the past. I do know now we'll have closed session items on there that are literally millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I think the last thing anybody should do is put those types of decisions off till late in the day when you're a little punchy. I mean, to be honest, if I had my way, and I guess technically – I do, as chair, I could put closed session up first, but that's just not such a change that I wanted to make as chair right out of the gate. But I think those really heavy and big decisions should be made as early in the day as possible when people are probably most likely at their sharpest. I remember one closed session that I was in, and it was, I think, like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And this was back early in my first year as a supervisor. And I was kind of laughing at myself, just thinking, you know, I get up usually every day at about 4:15, somewhere in there. I read the word, then I hit the gym. And then, you know, I'm back home getting coffee and getting my morning going by about 4:45. So I look at the other supervisors, and I don't know, you know, what their daily daily processes are, but, you know, I feel like when those things are late, it's a little comical. All right. With that, Brandon, is there any comments there on the Facebook page that or any questions people had that maybe I could address here? Just some supporters and some other little things. Well, one thing I'll tell you is, again, I've mentioned this before. This is the last show I'll have before the election, March 5th. I'm going to tell you, you got to get all your friends, all your family, people that maybe who aren't even politically engaged, get them engaged in District 1. Get them out to vote, whether they vote early, if they vote on Election Day, if they mail it in, etc. Get people to the polls. Get people to vote no on the recall. And they should look in and vote on everything, but definitely no on the recall. Make sure that they vote for term limits. Let's get these career politicians that want to do more and more terms out. And then yes on the charter county, because that's another big lie of the recall group. They say, oh, we should be able to have a vote, and we should say no to the charter. Well, right now we don't have a vote. The governor gets to appoint. I mean, these recall people are some of the biggest liars on the planet. I don't even know how they can face the public when they're confronted with that. But you know what? Hey, to each their own, right? So with that, Oliver Anthony Music is coming on. Richmond, north of Richmond, I really, this song has really endeared itself to me the longer I've been in office. Shasta County, you are phenomenal. Please come out on this Tuesday. Listen to Dr. Kieran O'Mahony's presentation. You'll probably be out of there by 8:30, 8:45.